my motivation was that that basically I'm an academic. I think if you sequence my DNA, you'll find an academic in there somewhere. And when it happened, I looked around and I thought, you know, I may want to do something with this. So I went to every hearing, and I attended every minute of the Senate trial. And I thought about it for a long time. And 4 years ago, I realized nobody had done anything on the impeachment and the removal. There had been several books on Blagojevich, but nobody really focused on what the legislature did. And I wanted someone 100 years from now to be able to go to a library and get this book and be right there. And I wanted to record what people were thinking and what was happening.
Having also had a front row seat to this and all of these events that were taking place at the time, it seemed as though at that time history was being made. I mean, you really felt that. You knew this was an important point in government history in the state of Illinois. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the motivation for the book. I mean, this was a historical event in Illinois. I am I have a very difficult time thinking of anything that could match it in the 200 years that this state has been in existence. Perhaps some of the pro-slavery issues in the 1860s, perhaps some of the pro-slavery issues in the 1820s. And I knew everybody. And I had access to everybody.
Did anything surprise you as you watched this process unfold, a process that the state really... it wasn't really tested in the state of Illinois. So, I mean, people weren't sure how it was all going to work.
It didn't surprise me, but you're absolutely correct in saying that there was no template to do this. The wording in the 1970 Constitution is for cause. And that, very frankly, could be the way someone parts their hair. It is completely wide open. I talked to several people who were at the convention in 1970. They told me that basically, and I'll quote them, that we just wanted to leave this as a political thing. Illinois was not known for really debating the issue of impeachment from the very beginning. In the 1818 convention, they simply wanted a convention that Congress would accept and they could become a state. So they were, and the subsequent conventions that happened afterwards, it actually diminished in importance. So in 1970, they said, look, we're going to leave this as a political decision. We'll leave it up to the legislature. And that was articulated very much in the hearings, that it's entirely up to the legislature what is cause.
And yet there were people, including Rod Blagojevich and his attorneys, who felt as though at the time that the cause was not there, that this was an opportunity to go after somebody who only had allegations made against them. The trial had not happened by this point, so nothing was proven against him. Did you get a feeling that there was some uneasiness about making that move when it was made?
There was obviously some trepidation, but if you look at the charges, the charges included administrative behavior, misbehavior. They included the JCAR controversy. They included hiring people that and disregarding the hiring regulations. They brought this out so that when the House developed the charges and developed the case, and David Ellis was Speaker's general counsel at that time. He was very careful to put administrative charges that could be proven because they had the results of the Auditor General reports, and they were the results of the JCAR situation that was in the courts at the time. So there were some very solid administrative evidence. Now, the charges, the criminal charges, were just kind of sprinkling afterwards. So they really could hang their hat on the fact that you have misbehaved administratively, you've... gone ahead and usurped the authority of the legislature, and this is proven, and that's basically the cause that they came up with. They were very, very careful. They put this case together in about 6 days. When Blagojevich was arrested, they had a conference. The speaker had a conference with Ellis, and had a conference with John Cullerton, and they said, we'll give him 6 days to resign. And if he doesn't resign in 6 days, we're going to form an investigative committee. It really wasn't an investigative committee. It was an inquisition, basically. I mean, there was no question about what they were going to do. But they based their case on very solid administrative causes.
We're talking with Bernie Soraki. He has written a book called A Just Cause, The Impeachment and Removal of Governor Rod Blagojevich. I recall from that period of time that while this could have turned very political or very partisan, maybe the better way to say it, it didn't seem that way. I mean, I think Republicans and Democrats seemed to join forces on this and did what they apparently thought was right. Did you notice that as well?
I did. I think there were certainly the political tensions. There was no question. The Republicans wanted to form an investigative committee that would be very similar to Judge Heupel's previously investigated judge, Supreme Court justice, and where they had an even number of Democrats and an even number of Republicans and co-chairman of the investigative committee. With the Blagojevich investigation, there is no way that the Democrats were going to give Republicans equal access to that committee. And they skewed it, the appointments, very much towards the Democrats. The only person that could really approve witnesses coming in was the Speaker of the House. And so there was no question that they were going to allow any political posturing on the part of the Republicans in the investigative committee. And in fact, the investigative committee were just told, these are the rules. They didn't work these out together. These are the rules. And the Republicans basically, they're in the minority and they just accepted it. Now, they did get a bit of flesh out of this, if you will, with the Roland Burris appointment.
Right. Roland Burris was appointed to that Senate seat, which had become so much in question. And Blagojevich did that while facing all of this backlash by the legislature.
That's right. And there were some questionable activities of Mr. Burris going back to the previous primary election for U.S. Senate. Representative Durkin demanded, he was the leader of the Republicans on the investigative committee, demanded that that Burris come before the committee. And so there was a little flourish of questions and a little partisan politics expressed, but that was about it. In fact, right after Burris was before the committee, they took a break, came back, and voted to impeach. So it was just that much. This on the Senate side, there was a lot of animosity that carried over from the Senator Emil Jones when he was Senate President, and had very much relegated the Republicans to the backbench.
7 years have gone by. Have you been able to put it in some type of context 7 years later?
There were people at the time, and this is the general public, who thought that he should not have been impeached. But they were not aware of most people are not aware of what this fellow was doing for 6 years. And he was a tremendous public relations person, as I call it. He would go on there with the same line that it's just those evil cabal in Springfield, and they're all against me. It's Madigan, if you just, I'm fighting for you, I'm fighting for the little guy, and that sold very well. In fact, Sean, his speech before the Senate, the day he was impeached, there were senators, Southern Illinois senators, who were getting emails at their office and calls at their office saying, vote to acquit. He still had that ability to do that. And there were areas of Illinois where he was very popular.
Have you talked to anybody involved in that process who looks back with any regret? Did they move too quickly? Did they make the right call?
Everybody I've talked to is very confident that they made the right call. I've never talked to anyone that expressed a regret.